This is Morning Edition on KUNC. I'm Erin O'Toole. This summer, the Army enacted new guidelines to closely evaluate soldiers exposed to blasts from improvised explosive devices, or IEDs, in Iraq and Afghanistan. The idea is to create better documentation and treatment for the signature wound of war, mild traumatic brain injury. But the new policy comes too late to help some injured soldiers at home. KUNC's Grace Hood and military investigative reporter Michael DeJoanna spent 6 months following one Colorado soldier as he fought for his TBI diagnosis and treatment. Their reporting shows a military health system at Fort Carson that requires a number of patients to fight for their care, even after they've fought for their country.
And this doesn't fit the promise George W. Bush made back in 2007. In the wake of the Walter Reed Army Medical Center scandal, Bush said he was disturbed by accounts of cockroach-infested living quarters and red tape preventing treatment.
It is not right to have someone volunteer to wear a uniform and not get the best possible care.
But soldiers are still falling between the cracks. Soldiers like former Staff Sergeant Sean Lynch. He fought the Army for years to acknowledge his unusual medical problems were connected to IED and mortar blasts he survived during two combat tours in Iraq.
Finally, this summer they did, but there's little closure for the 39-year-old whose daily reminder of his injury is an excessive wavering of his voice.
I felt sissy for over at Iraq in war than I did. But back in the States in the W2TU.
Lynch is talking about the Warrior Transition Unit at Fort Carson, which was established to help soldiers either transition back to service or, in Lynch's case, into civilian life. His hands shake while he talks, and he doesn't make eye contact.
His path through the WTU has been a long one with lots of detours.
It's a process his advocates and an outside expert say may have even harmed him.
And it's impacted his family, putting stress on his 3-year marriage to wife Dawn.
It frustrates me so bad because he's not the same person at all.
Lynch has literally been to hundreds of medical appointments, battled an addiction to narcotics that Army doctors gave him, arguing along the way that he has a brain injury instead.
I don't know if they were thinking I was like a private and just would give up.
In answering criticisms about its level of care, high-ranking Fort Carson officials say Staff Sergeant Lynch is part of a small minority. Based on their own exit surveys, they estimate over 90% of those leaving what's now called Warrior Transition Battalions are satisfied with their experience.
But the Government Accountability Office, the investigative arm of Congress, reported in 2009 that the response rates for these surveys are low, between 13 and 35%. And advocating for people like Staff Sergeant Lynch has become a full-time job for some.
There's hundreds of Lynch cases going on a daily basis.
Andrew Pagani is a former investigator with the National Veterans Legal Services Program. Pagani, along with pro bono attorney Wendy Curtis, began working with Lynch back in 2008.
The challenge here was the Army's unwillingness to even consider TBI and their dismissive attitude to Sergeant Lynch's concern.
Civilian researchers estimate up to 15% of people with mild TBI develop ongoing disabling problems like Lynch, whose symptoms developed shortly after he got back. We wanted to find out why it was so hard, why it took so long for him to get a diagnosis and treatment.
Part of the answer starts here at Fort Carson's Soldier Readiness Center. A lone TV echoes down a long, narrow hallway. Although it's relatively quiet now, with just a few soldiers here, an estimated 60,000 are processed through this building each year.
The command here wanted to make sure that the soldiers had something to do while they waited.
That's Colonel Heidi Terrio, Chief of Clinical Investigations and Deployment Health. She's a doctor who's open and friendly and knows a lot about traumatic brain injuries.
Sometimes we describe it as, you know, when the electricity goes off in the room and your computer shuts down? Did that happen to you?
Experts say explosions send a wave of pressure through the brain that can cause damage. To catch anything not documented in Iraq or Afghanistan, soldiers take the post-deployment health assessment and TBI screen.
The idea is to establish a baseline record of health. Turns out how you answer this quiz matters a lot when it comes to a TBI diagnosis.
If a soldier says he was exposed to an injury event, he's prompted to fill out another section.
And that could trigger questions about loss of consciousness and what's considered the most important thing doctors need.
The gold standard is a structured clinical interview.
But this advanced screening isn't catching everyone, like Staff Sergeant Lynch when he came through here in late 2006.
The system isn't totally to blame. Looking at Lynch's PDHA, the form is hardly revealing of his experiences in Iraq.
Do go bye-bye what you're to told by your to chain a command. If you can walk, talk, you have fingers to toes, you are okay. You don't report anything.
In retrospect, Lynch says he left out important events on the form, and he didn't talk about losing friends and cleaning up body parts to recover a vehicle.
He wanted to be tough, and says he felt most comfortable sharing medical issues in the confidential setting of a doctor's office and not on paper.
His records show he saw a psychologist just weeks after returning from combat, talking about increased anxiety. And as early as January 2008, doctors began using a term closely related to mild TBI, post-concussive disorder, to describe his symptoms.
But it would take the Army another 2.5 years to acknowledge his mild TBI.
When I looked at his case, it was like every shade of f***ed up.
Andrew Pagani says by the time he crossed paths with Staff Sergeant Lynch, the Army had already begun the discharge process. He had gone to an inpatient detox facility to get off prescription drugs, including morphine and Percocet, and the Army was attributing Lynch's stuttering and cognitive issues to post-traumatic stress disorder, which eventually led to a temporary disability rating of 60%.
That despite two brain scans by Army doctors in 2008 and 2009, that said his symptoms could be linked to TBI.
So Lynch and Pagani met with the specialists conducting the tests.
So we have another sequence here that I've put into the protocol.
What you hear in the cell phone recording are a pair of doctors throwing out technical jargon. They're using phrases like fiber tracking and gray-white matter junction.
Even as reporters, we had trouble following it at times.
At one point, Lynch gets so frustrated, he starts crying.
People just don't care.
It's hard to hear, but Lynch says he's just a number in the system.
Eventually, the doctors are directly asked if objective evidence exists that Lynch has a brain injury.
In the right clinical context.
In the right clinical context, one says, adding that radiology studies can't be taken in a box.
Pagani says Lynch's feeling that he was caught in an uncaring system started to take an emotional toll. Records show in 2009, Lynch was deemed to be a risk for suicide, and it was causing problems at home.
It was starting to weigh on our marriage, and nothing has come between Sean and I ever.
Despite these setbacks, Staff Sergeant Lynch had obtained what he believed to be documentation from his supervisor in Iraq that he was exposed to blasts. The first memo came in 2009.
Except when he needed it, it wasn't there.
Remember Colonel Heidi Terrio? As a favor to Lynch and his attorney, she steps in to review Lynch's case, revisiting the question of mild TBI. But he has no information from eyewitnesses corroborating his story.
Terrio is left to conclude that, quote, without a documented history of an injury event, it would be unlikely that the findings are from concussion in theater.
In other words, she can't say that any event in Iraq led to Lynch's injury.
There's something Kafkaesque about this moment for Lynch. He felt not only that medical officials thought he was lying about his experience, but that they were denying that they ever happened.
Here's what Colonel Terrio said when asked how the documentation got lost.
I wasn't one of the providers taking care of him. I was just doing an evaluation after the fact.
After that review, at the urging of his attorney, Lynch saw an outside medical expert for an evaluation.
A neuropsychologist with Craig Hospital in Denver determined Lynch's symptoms were caused by blasts and that his condition likely warranted more attention for a TBI. But it took another 4 months for the Army to concede.
A supervisor drafted a signed memo in May of this year stating that Lynch was exposed to blasts in Iraq.
During the final part of Lynch's process this summer, the Army acknowledged that may have played a factor in his medical problems. Still, Lynch's attorney, Wendy Curtis, says,
it wasn't a celebration because this isn't something to celebrate.
The Physical Evaluation Board offered Staff Sergeant Lynch a 70% permanent disability rating. However, they did not acknowledge a traumatic brain injury on his final paperwork.
Lynch says he felt cheated by the decision. But that's not how Colonel Terrio sees it.
You know, in Sergeant Lynch's case, he never really felt like he got the benefit of the doubt until the appeal at the end.
That's exactly what we were working for, is to make sure that if there was this chance that he could have possibly have sustained a traumatic brain injury, that would get documented for him.
Colonel Terrio offered to sit down with Staff Sergeant Lynch and his wife to hear about their experience.
But after fighting for so long, the couple declined the offer. Dawn Lynch says she's surprised to hear herself say it, but she can't trust the Army. And as for Sean...
It's been nothing but a heartache, that's all I know.
There is one postscript to this story.
In June, the Army adopted new guidelines for identifying and treating soldiers with traumatic brain injuries. It requires mandatory evaluations and reporting of blasts within 50 meters of soldiers.
But these new guidelines came out almost 9 years after the war in Afghanistan started, and just 2 months before combat operations in Iraq were officially declared over by President Obama.
And more than 3.5 years after Staff Sergeant Sean Lynch was exposed to his IED blasts, he's now awaiting official assessment for a TBI through the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
For KUNC, I'm Michael DiOanna.
And I'm Grace Hood.
To check out photos and view some of the documents related to this story, you can go to KUNC.org.